Welcome to the Guitar Channel. I am super happy and super impressed to welcome you a new interview. I am with the one and only Dave Friedman here in Paris, in France. Dave, are you surviving life in France?
So far, yes. We haven't been here very long.
Okay. You were in Lyon yesterday. How was it?
It was good. Yeah. Clinic went well and we had some nice dinner and yeah, it was good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The first time we met was back in January during the Winter NAMM. So what's new since then?
Oh, since then? Well, we finally released the products that we showed at Winter NAMM.
Okay.
Which is the BE-100 Deluxe and the Double J Junior amplifier. So they're finally in production and out in the world. Okay. And not much else since then. Okay. Yeah.
Do you discover some strange thing or do you have some stories to tell when you are after the prototyping stage and you are ready to put into production? Do you need to rework the amp or?
No, not generally. Maybe sometimes you find something along the way that you didn't think of and you made a mistake, which
okay.
I did.
Okay.
But often it takes longer than you always anticipate getting it into production.
Sure.
Yeah, waiting on parts or different things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you are enjoying your European tour so far?
Yeah, so far so good, yeah. I think I'm getting a little sick, but okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe I'm going to be a little bit, to stay a little bit further than you. You were at the 42 Gear Street event organized by Henning, so how was it?
That was amazing.
Yeah.
Really well done, very well done event.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly what he always wished for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it was great.
Can you tell us what do you think is different between the customers you have in the US compared to what you see here in Europe? Hmm. Any difference?
No, very similar.
Yeah.
I think very similar. I don't really notice a difference. No, it's about the same. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Hmm. Good question though. I haven't really thought about it.
Okay. I will ask it again maybe when we meet at next Winter NAMM 2020. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. That's fine. Yes.
Let's talk about guitars. You started to produce guitars like what, 1 or 2 years ago, something like that?
Yes, about two. Well, maybe almost 3 years ago. At this point, we started. Yes.
Okay.
And now we're in pretty good swing with it now, so mm-hmm. we have a lot of them out there.
Okay. Can you tell us what is your philosophy behind guitar building? Why did you get into guitar business? To get rich, I suppose?
Oh, no. If anyone thinks they're going to get rich from this business, think again.
Okay.
I love guitars.
Yeah.
So I had been around guitars all my career. And had some consulting with other brands and things over the years that I had done. And I thought that I would love to make what I really wanted to make.
Okay.
So the philosophy sort of was vintage aesthetic and feel,
mm-hmm.
But modern playability.
Okay.
And also great tone.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. And how did you meet Groover Jackson? I had the pleasure to go to his workshop at, I think it was in 2014. He was still building the J2J, GJ2, brand. So how did you meet Groover?
Grover actually approached us.
Okay.
We had a smaller luthier making instruments for us at first, but he couldn't keep up with mm-hmm. the demand. So Grover approached us that said, I can do this for you and meet your demand and mm-hmm. what you need done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we started a relationship and it's been great.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what happened when two legends like you meet and try to work together? Because you are a legend in the amplifier world. He's a legend in the guitar world. So were there some interesting fights or I don't know, stories?
Not really fights, no, but I have an attention to detail that he doesn't have the same attention to detail. So I'm very particular on how these guitars are done, how the fret edges feel, how the edges of the neck, how the necks feel, the thickness, the specific parts that are on it, the specific pickups that we make was all came from me.
Mm-hmm.
So where he leaves off and what he does, I continue to finish it off, you know.
Okay.
yeah so then it's a fantastic, you know, product that it is now.
Mm-hmm. So you have it is the Cali model. You have
a
here
white
Cali model.
Okay.
Over sunburst.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Worn away, not very much on this one. This Rosewood board on this guitar, original Floyd Rose, Friedman custom pickups, and hip shot tuners, locking tuners, and a locking nut. Nothing's going out of tune.
Yeah. What are the magic tricks you put into this guitar? You know, the very special, specific stuff you really wanted to fine tune?
Well, really, really how the neck feels, how the back of the neck feels. It's a very worn away feel. And also the fret edges and the corners and the edges of the fret also. Okay. So the fretboard edge, how it's rolled over. Mm-hmm. So it feels worn in, feels great. And also the fret edges and the dressing of the frets, which are all plecked on these instruments.
Ah, okay. Oh, yeah, I remember I saw a plec machine at a Groove place, yeah.
And the other thing, too, is on this instrument, we have an easy adjust truss rod wheel. Mm-hmm. So it's very easy to adjust the truss rod if you need to. Mm-hmm. You almost put anything in there and just turn it, and you're good to go. Also, all the necks on the guitars have two metal dowels that go from the neck to the body.
Okay.
They're precision metal dowels. So what that does is it prevents the neck from shifting ever.
And so they're like this within the neck here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So on the neck, they'd be about like right here.
Okay.
On here. And they're two precision dowels that come up from the body into the neck. So not only does it make it so it won't shift, it makes it so it transfers sound better.
Okay.
There's more mass from the neck to the body.
Okay. So it improves like what the
sustain, the ring. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay. Tell us a little bit more about the pickups.
Pickups are custom pickups that we make at the factory on Leco 5 magnets.
Okay.
There's slight offsets in the pickups. So one coil is slightly hotter than the other. That kind of creates a sort of a stringiness or sort of a clarity. And we just came up with a recipe we really liked, and we went with it.
Okay. What about the lack of tone control? Was it cost effective to put tone control?
It can be ordered with a tone control if you'd like. On this style guitar, not many people would use a tone control on this particular model. We do have them on other models. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What are the kind of feedbacks you got from a professional player so far?
Oh, they love it so far. I mean, Steve Stevens has a guitar and that he loves the sound of, that he used on his solo tour, and everyone else. I mean, Joel Hoekstra, that plays with Cher and plays with Trans-Siberian Orchestra and Whitesnake, has a guitar, and you know, the feedback's been fantastic. Yeah.
You are very present on social media. I am a religious listener of your Tone Talk podcast. Mm-hmm. Do you think nowadays you have to be present on social network and to spend the effort to push this kind of content to make the people to discover your brand?
I think that's the only way to advertise anymore. I don't think there is any other way. How do people find out about your brand?
It's really amazing when you listen to Tone Talk, because it's like you guys are in a room talking to each other, and you forget about we, the listeners, and so we listen to all your incredible stories. So what do you think is the best Tone Talk episode you had so far?
Oh, boy. best one. Grover Jackson one was excellent. Yeah. The John Sir one, two parts.
Super long and super interesting with Pete Thorne.
Yeah, with Pete Thorne, yep. Jakey Lee also was a very interesting tone talk that kind of went down the toilet.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, sometimes we drink on the show. And not always, but, you know, sometimes it depends.
Did you have to edit some of the show to get rid of some dirty stuff?
No. We never do that.
Okay.
No. Oh, also the one we just did with Steve Vai was excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was very open about sharing stories with you, and it's really interesting because the trust relationship is right there between you guys, Mark, and your guests. So right from the start, the show starts, and it's interesting. So I really congratulate for you for putting up such a nice show, and you keep getting some very interesting guests. So are you going through from A to Z on your contacts list?
You know, you often forget about people that you can get, and then all of a sudden it dawns on you one day and you go, oh yeah, I should have him on the show. Yes. Mark also is working on guests that I didn't even have contact with and stuff. So we got some good ones coming up that are going to be good, and we hope to have more.
Mm-hmm.
There's some in the works.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Any top secret stuff you want to share?
Eventually we'll have Steve Lukather on. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
He said yes a long time ago, although I just he tours a lot, so it's hard to hard to get him in one spot. Mm. But yeah, we're gonna try to get that done.
Let's talk about TubeM for a minute. Do you think it's still possible to invent some stuff about this technology, which is like 70 or 80 years old now, or something like that?
Invent new? I don't think you really invent anything new that hasn't been done or touched on before. It's how you package it and in what way and how you create the recipe for your sound.
Mm-hmm.
And also people tend to not want something new.
Okay, that's true.
They tend to want to hear what they're used to or what their guitar heroes used or played or sounded, you know.
Mm.
Yeah.
Let's say you have in front of you a blank page, unlimited found, and no constraint. What would you like to approach regarding amp?
Blank page.
Yeah, I'm sure you have plenty of ideas.
Yes, but I can't talk about
okay.
them.
I'm trying.
I know. I don't know. I think I keep thinking about how to bring the tube technology more into a modern age where a lot of people are using just in-ear monitors and not using stage cabinets and different things like that. So I think we'll be approaching, you know, future products that way a little bit more.
Okay. Are there some boutique amp builder that you are really admiring and you wish you had the ideas they have released?
Oh man, really?
Yeah.
I mean, there's lots of people I've admired from the past.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I necessarily wish that I had thought of that. You know, Mike Soldano's a friend and a fantastic builder. Bruce Eggnader's a friend and a fantastic builder. Stephen Fryette, formerly VHT, now Fryette, is a fantastic friend and builder.
Mm-hmm.
They've all done great products and stuff over the years. So that's hard to
pick and choose. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you sometimes sit down with those people to brainstorm, to share ideas, or is just okay, there is some kind of invisible frontier, you know?
We've done a lot of collaboration on the Synergy project that we have. Synergy project, if anyone doesn't know, is a modular format preamp. Look it up if you don't know what it is. So we have official modules done by the companies.
Okay.
So like there's a Soldano module, there is several Friedman modules, there is Morgan and Fryette and Engel and Diesel, and I'm forgetting a few.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, on those projects, we all sort of work together on a bunch of stuff. Mm. So
if we put a Synergy module from Yuga, from you, and is it based on the BE-100 or
Yes.
So you close your eyes and you won't be able to distinguish them, you think?
Yeah, the preamps are almost identical, but depending on what power section you put it into, will change the tone a little bit. Yeah.
Dave, it was great to have you on the show. One very last question for you. When are we going to see some Friedman guitars in store in France? Or is it going to be internet only?
That's a very good question.
Uh-huh.
I think soon.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think so.
Excellent. Dave, again, thank you very much for being on the show and see you at the Winter NAMM 2020. Okay?
Yeah, absolutely. Good.
Bye-bye.